With help from Northern Michigan RV, we sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV. Hello and welcome back to this special Thanksgiving program. I'm Jerry Stewart. It was November 1965, just 1 week before Thanksgiving, and all us kids could think about was making it through school to the long holiday. Three of us had just formed a folk singing group, the Liberty Trio, and one day our leader, Kenneth, said he had our first job. Really, I said, that's great. How much does it pay? Nothing, he said. Nothing? Where's it going to be? At the Air Force Base, he said, in their hospital. Hospital? Yeah, he said, they're putting on this special Thanksgiving program for all the men back from Vietnam. There'll be one act from each local high school, and we've been picked. I just looked at him. Do you think we're really ready? Oh, yeah, he said, we're the Liberty Trio. Well, on that Thanksgiving Eve, we packed up our guitars and headed for the Carswell Air Force Base Hospital. We were in good spirits, determined to make a great showing. But when we walked into the meeting hall, I was not prepared for what I saw. There were boys, not much older than me, in beds and wheelchairs. They were all beat up. And for some, there were bandages where arms and legs should be. And the one thing I remember most was their faces. They were hard and cold and afraid. There were no smiles, no laughter, no talking. It was obvious. They were clearly at our program against their will. Now I understood. We were there to cheer them up. Well, when the program began, we were act number three, and as we watched the first performers give it their very best, the men there literally ignored them. They didn't even clap. I remember thinking, I got to get out of here. But then we were up. We put on our best faces and moved on to the stage. As we began, the room and the audience were very cold. We made it through the first verse, but then something very strange happened. We all just went, well, blank. We forgot the words, and each of us began to sing a different verse of the song, each of us singing different words. It was horrible. Then finally, thankfully, that song was over, but it was just too late. The hard, cold audience, our lack of experience, all those bandages, our absolute fear, they were too much, and the next song was even worse. We not only missed the words, we missed the key, the chords, everything. But as we struggled through, something very amazing began to happen. One by one, these wounded men put down their newspapers. They watched and listened until finally, in the back of that large room, one nurse let out a giggle. Then there was another and another until finally, they all began to laugh bigger and bigger. Until finally, thankfully, we were through. We quickly slipped out the back door, determined to get away from that nightmare. And as we drove off that base, none of us said anything. Finally, Kenneth said, "It wasn't that bad, guys." "Not that bad," I said. "It was worse than bad. We are ruined." And that was it. Well, that next day, Thanksgiving, and the rest of that long weekend, I kept my secret. Then Monday came. At school, I avoided the guys completely. At third period, a note came. "Go to Mrs. Reynolds' office." She was the counselor who had recommended us for that program. When I arrived in her office, there sat the other band members, and their faces told it all. What was going to happen to us for ruining that program? Then Mrs. Reynolds began to speak. "Boys, I got a call from the director of the hospital." I braced myself. Here it comes. She said, "You boys were absolutely wonderful." We all just looked at each other. She's not talking about the Liberty Trio. She continued. "The purpose of the program was to cheer up the men there, give them something special for Thanksgiving. There's been a terrible morale problem at the hospital, and quite frankly, some had even lost their will to live. But after your performance," she told us, "their attitudes had changed. Many of the men are now talking to the nurses and asking for their friends and family. Their spirits are renewed. It's truly a miracle. And she wants you boys to know just how important you were to making it happen. And on behalf of everyone there at the hospital, to thank you." Oh, and one more thing. She says, anytime you can, she wants you to bring back your act. She said, it's one of the best comedy acts she has ever seen. Well, that was it. We walked out the door, looked at each other, and then busted out laughing. A comedy act? A comedy act. We shook our heads and just walked off. Well, the Liberty Trio never performed again, but it was some years later until I could completely understand just what had happened that night, that Thanksgiving Eve, and the great part we had played, without even knowing, in giving back to those brave, young, injured men a desire to live, and most importantly, a very special gift, the gift of thanks. I'm Jerry Stewart. I'll be back with more of this special holiday program after these messages.
Hello, this is Kelly Stewart. Jerry and I want to thank you for listening today. This may be your first time to hear Jerry tell these stories, or maybe you're one of his first listeners over 20 years ago. Either way, it is important to find stories about America and share these stories with others. Why? To encourage us all to do our own part and keep America as a good and great nation. It is so important that we use these special holidays in our America to remember, to honor, and to keep clear our vision for a better America. That's what this Thanksgiving program today is all about. Not just to entertain us, but to use stories from the past to lead and direct us as we go forward.
And what's our job? To spread these stories that are being told with our families, our schools, our churches. So today, we have something special to offer. Kelly, what do we have for our listeners today?
We invite you to call our office at 817-995-4607. When you call, you can ask about today's special program offer Jerry and I put together just for our listeners to help you and your family as we all work together and pray for our America. That number again, 817-995-4607, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com. Let's all do our own part, and let's get back to praying for America. Let's make today a special start, a day of prayer, a day of continuing to pray for our America. Our America is worth saving. God bless you all.
And just what should we be praying for in this Thanksgiving? A return back to God in America.
That number again, 817-995-4607, or online at www.jerrystewartusa.com.
Chuck and Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people, and even our pets, have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana, and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Hello and welcome back to this special Thanksgiving program. I'm Jerry Stewart. In our lifetime, we meet tens of thousands of people from every walk of life. And most people we meet are kind and helpful. But unfortunately, there are those few who are so very harsh and cruel that they make themselves and everyone else absolutely miserable. But sometimes, under rare and miraculous circumstances, this cruel and harsh person is changed forever. His name was John Newton. He was born in England in 1725. His mother died when he was just 10 years old, and his father, a merchant ship commander, spent most of his time on the high seas. His father had made a fine living as a captain, mainly because of his cargo. He captained a ship which carried slaves to America. It was a very profitable business. When his mother was alive, she taught John to read the Bible and secretly prayed that someday he would become a minister. But he was far from that. At age 17, he began his own life at sea. He was coarse and crude and belligerent. He scoffed at religion and took every opportunity to blaspheme God. He was absolutely wicked. So wicked that no one and no ship's captain wanted him, and his mean spirit continued to get him in trouble. He was accused of stealing. It was an accusation that wasn't true, but had been fabricated by his fellow shipmates because they so despised him. He was removed from the ship and forced to live a slave's life. Now, although John had no real interest in his father, he managed to get word back to him of his serious condition. And miraculously, his father received the message and sent word that he'd be picked up by another merchant ship. He was saved, but John had still not learned. He had no idea just how many times he had been delivered and just who his deliverer really was. As the merchant ship made its way back to England and John's home, he continued to mock God in front of the captain and his crew. The captain said, "John, one day God will punish you for your blasphemy. I hope you're not on this ship when it happens." And then, one night, as John was sleeping, he was awakened by the sound of splitting timber, and he felt the ship beginning to tip. As he made his way above board, he saw a storm so violent it was tearing the ship apart. The captain ordered the men to fill the leaks, plug up the holes, and bail out the water. It looked hopeless. Mountainous waves kept crashing over the ship and flooding the cabins below. Then a break came in the storm. Everyone looked at John. They believed he was the Jonah who had caused this terrible storm. But before they could act, the storm came again. All night long, it tossed the ship as they bailed it out to keep it from sinking. John was given the job to stay above board and steer the ship, and they literally tied him to the helm to keep him from being washed overboard. As he steered, his life flashed before him, and suddenly a terrible thought struck John like a blow. If this ship went down, he would die without God. All through the lonely hours of that stormy night, remorse tore at his heart like the great winds tore at the ship's sails. And then, by the next morning, the storm was over. And as the men rushed above board, they found John Newton, still tied to the helm, still steering the ship. That night, during that terrible storm, John Newton's life was changed forever. He had given his life to God. Oh, it took a while for John to grow into the man he would eventually be, but his mother's prayers did come true. John did become a minister. Not only a minister, a songwriter. And he wrote one song that almost everyone knows. But little does anyone realize that when John Newton wrote Amazing Grace, he was not being just poetic, but truthful and thankful. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like John Newton. Wow, what a powerful story, and what a picture of the grace and mercy and patience of Almighty God. But what happens when a person really does have a reason to be angry? Dealt such a difficult place in life that they literally have nothing to be thankful for. And what happens when we run across a person like that who truly has the gift of thanks? Listen to this story. When I was a young man still in school, I took a job at a church, a very unusual and unique church, a church for the handicapped. It was founded by a man who was severely disabled. An auto accident had left him paralyzed, and he wanted a place where people with any form of handicap could come and worship together. It was probably the only church of its kind in the world, and they had just about every kind of disability and handicap you could imagine. There was muscular dystrophy, polio, multiple sclerosis, people in wheelchairs as a result of accidents or injuries. You'd think it would be a miserable and depressing place to be, but it wasn't. It was truly one of the happiest churches I've ever seen. And there was this one fellow. His name was William. He was about 40 years old and severely handicapped. He'd never held a job and still lived with his elderly mother. He was an odd sort of guy, kind of funny looking, wore his pants way too high. He was friendly enough, but he wasn't the kind of person that would just come right up and talk to you. He'd sort of sneak up from behind. You'd be doing something, and all of a sudden, you'd feel somebody standing behind you, and there would be William. After I'd worked at the church for a few months, we had a new member come. Her name was Evelyn, and she suffered from severe epilepsy. Well, from the first moment William saw her, he was in love with Evelyn, and he immediately made a pest of himself. No matter how hard Evelyn tried to get away, there he was. So every time you saw William, he was standing beside Evelyn, with her swinging her arms, telling him to get away. Then finally, one Sunday morning, during the church service, I could not believe my eyes. There they were, holding hands. Later, I sensed someone standing behind me. I turned around, and there was William. He said, "Jerry, I want to show you something." And he carefully pulled from his shirt pocket a snapshot of Evelyn. He said, "This is Evelyn. She's my girl." He was so proud. Then he carefully slipped the picture back into his pocket and walked away. I'm Jerry Stewart. We're taking a break now, but when we return, you'll hear more of the story of William and Evelyn after these messages. If you're enjoying this special holiday program today and you'd like to know how to get your own copy, you can visit our website at www.jerrystewartusa.com. All of the information is right there. Or you can call our office at 817-995-4607 and someone will answer to help you. You might be thinking about getting today's order packet as a Christmas present for that special patriotic someone, and I can tell you that these programs do make great gifts, and there's a very special gift packet available right now for you. So if you would like to know more about our work and to read some great stories, just go to my website at jerrystewartusa.com. There are hundreds of great true stories of America right there, and they're all free for you to read and to enjoy. Once again, thanks so much for listening, for supporting my programs, and thank you for being a great American. God bless you.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Stewart. Before the break, I was telling you the story of William and Evelyn, a severely handicapped couple in my church who were falling in love. It was all so fun to watch, but then something happened. One night, the church pastor pulled me to the side and said there was a problem. William and Evelyn wanted to get married. They had approached their parents for permission, but their request had been denied. Over the next few weeks, as they continued to ask, you could clearly see William and Evelyn were so upset that they couldn't get married. Then, early one morning, I received a phone call from the pastor. He told me that the night before, while Evelyn was at home, she had had one of her epileptic seizures, and she had died. All I could think about was William. Just what in the world was William going to do? Just how many disappointments can one person have in their lifetime and not finally just give up? At the funeral, I was asked to be a pallbearer, and as we carried the casket into the service, William was allowed to walk along.